Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Is in the balance. 13 seconds left. Florida leads it by two.
Uzan gonna go.
Uzan, give it up. Cryer, 6 seconds, 5 seconds. Sharp.
He won. He can't touch it.
He can't. 1 second. And it's over. Florida is back on top of the college basketball world championship madness. It's a great day to be a Gator. They win the national title.
Well, hearing that again, just an AIDS sandwich stuffed in your ears. Brutal. All right. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Blame whatever you want for this loss. Because it is on the Cougs. They blew it. But you can blame anything else. I'll start. They should have worn either, one, the black unis they wore against Duke, or two, the throwback Phi Slamma-Jamma jerseys to exercise the curse of Final Four's past.
I will say the throwback jerseys would have been tough, given that they're playing a team coached by the youngest coach since...
Jim Valvano.
To win a national championship.
Who was the coach of NC State in 1983. But here's the thing.
That was a tough parallel pregame for me to learn.
But it already happened, so at this point.
Double negative?
Screw it.
Double jeopardy. Can't charge you for the same crime twice.
They had the greatest comeback in Final Four recent history. Number three all time against Duke on Saturday, wearing the black unis. Wear those again! There's clearly some good juju on that. You look lost for most of that game. Where are those? Wrong answers only. Why did the Cougs lose? Bunch of people blaming Ted Cruz. Bunch of people are pointing the finger at old Theodore from the 832. I blame Ted Cruz for not showing up. No, Ted Cruz was there, sir. Ted Cruz showed up, and the Houston Chronicle posted a story saying that he had shown up. Somebody actually went online, found the timestamp, and noted that when Ted Cruz, a story was posted by the Houston Chronicle about him arriving at the Alamo Dome, the Cougs were leading 40-30 with 17-18 to play. Florida outscored Houston 35-23 the rest of the way. Tim England, the person who pointed that out on social media. The Ted Cruz curse is funny, but it just keeps on happening over and over again. I truly do not know the official number for records of teams in Texas, whether they're professional teams or academic institutions when he shows up. I do not know their record. I have seen records as bad as 3-14, but now that I think about it, that seems like a stretch. No one's actually done the math. Maybe that's something I should do, but he's been in office since 2013, and that feels like a lot of work. Like, do I have to do Texas Rangers games from back then, right? Like, wasn't there...
Against the Cardinals?
Right. Like, does that... Does that count the same? Like I there's too much math to be done there.
I don't know. It just feels like.
Feels right.
Feels right. Feels like he's at a lot of big Texas games where they lose. Feels like they're at a he's at a lot of big Texas A&M games where they lose.
Yep.
Like it just it he was at a lot of Astros games in Minute Maid against the Rangers.
He was.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I think every fan base just feels it's true, which at some point, if you're Ted Cruz and you're doing this blatant pandering, like it's working against you. Like this is just creating more negative association with your name.
Yep, 100%.
And it's uniting fan bases from across the state.
From the 936, Eric the Driver blames Obama. Thanks, Obama.
Oh, who'd he pick? Did he put out a bracket? I'll work on that.
It does seem like he would do a look at me. This is my bracket kind of move, but I'm sure I don't think Trump even did a bracket this year, to be honest. Another blame for the Houston Cougars losing that doesn't have anything to do with the actual Houston Cougars themselves. How about this? Coug Blaze brings up on Twitch the Florida coach. Should he be allowed within feet of college students? Should he be allowed?
I don't know.
Should national champion coach Todd Golden be allowed?
The investigation is ongoing, to quote Cam Newton.
Yes.
By the way, Barack Obama had Houston losing in the Sweet 16.
Yo! He's still filling out a bracket?
Yeah, yeah. He had Duke, Auburn, Florida, and Tennessee.
Damn it, mofos blames me wearing maroon yesterday. No, I was wearing blue and red. It was blue and red. But I was out of my, all my Coug stuff was in the laundry. So I dug this out and it smells. I've had a couple of Coug shirts that I've dug out because I've been wearing it so much the last couple of weeks. And I've just been lazy with the laundry. So I've been wearing some dirty clothes. Not great. Coug Blaze continues saying, I believe Florida should have to forfeit that game because their coach should not have been able to coach in that game. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. That's the reason the Cougs lost. From the 832, I blame Trump's tariffs on Canada. That game was played on American wood. Another one. I blame the McNairs for not cooking burgers and throwing up the H while doing so. Yeah, that's true. Where were the McNairs? I didn't see the McNairs at the game. I saw Greg Abbott. In addition to Ted Cruz, Greg Abbott also seemed to be throwing a little bit of shade at Ted Cruz. He said, like, yeah, no bad luck here.
Yeah, yeah. Someone needs to do the Greg Abbott, run the numbers on the Greg Abbott.
Well, 0-1 at the very least.
0-1. Yeah.
Are all those stadiums that the Cougs have played in handicap accessible? I would think
not
that
anymore.
They are.
Oh.
Well, if you want to see, at least with Greg Abbott, like to stop the Ted Cruz curse, there would be a way to stop it. Not that we're asking for that to happen.
No, of course not.
No one wants Ted Cruz to go to these. It is funny. Like everyone's like, don't go, dude. Just don't go. It's based on a lie and mythical data that no one actually has in front of them. But it is kind of funny. Like, I know, what's the guy's name? Ben Shapiro was always like, well, feelings don't care about, facts don't care about your feelings. Well, guess what? Feelings don't care about your facts. F Ted Cruz. We don't want him at these games.
Yeah.
Right, left, middle, communist, totalitarian, monarchist. We don't want that guy here. That simple.
It doesn't help that he's like already was like not super well liked.
Right.
Like he's like, even among like
conservatives
in Congress.
Yes.
They're like, F this guy. And then he becomes the like the walking jinx. It's a tough look.
Reasons the Cougs lost that have nothing to do with the actual reason the Cougs lost. The Cougs. From the 832, I want to blame the bar regular who showed up as soon as things started to fall apart, who never really cares about sports but was wearing a Cougs shirt anyway. Well, that's annoying.
That's tough. At least he wasn't wearing a Florida shirt.
Could have been worse. I mean, it could have been. There's nothing worse than somebody who gambled on a game who's acting like they have a rooting interest in the game and they want to talk to you about gambling on said game.
Even worse, bracket.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I don't care about your bracket. Yeah. I don't, especially at this point. Like, oh, you had 2-1 seeds in the final? Shut the F up.
Yeah. After the Sweet 16, I'm like, I'm good, dude.
100%. Just never, ever bring that up. But yeah, the last time I had a moment like that where I'm watching a game and it's one of my favorite teams, whereas guys talking to me about gambling on the game was when the Patriots played the Raiders a couple of years ago and Jacoby Myers decided to lateral the ball across the field to Mac Jones, who was promptly demolished by Chandler Jones, who took it to the house for a walk-off touchdown. And there's this jackass at McIntyre's in the Heights who's like telling me about his line on the game. And I actually told him to go F himself. I was like, listen, man, I don't know you, but I do not care about your gambling. Go F yourself. And I got up and stormed away. And I felt I was very justified in saying that. Anyone who might have been talking to you about gambling during last night's game can go die.
Just die. Thank God there was an overtime under hit.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not want overtime.
I guarantee you somebody went up at the end of the game, it's like, well, at least the under hit. I guarantee you someone did that. Last night was not the place.
Thank God Florida covered.
No, because I told you guys to take the under, but I would not have been like, oh, at least we got the under. No, like no one cares about the under. No one cares about that. From the 832, it's Jeff Bagwell's fault. I'm cool blaming Jeff Bagwell.
Yeah. He could have, instead of giving that money to Montero, he could have spent that on
NIL. Right, because now there's a salary cap next year. What if that money had gone to the Cougs instead of Rafael Montero and Jose Abreu?
Yeah, a 6'5" LJ Crier.
Ooh, I like this one from the 281. My wife made me turn down the volume from 7 to 6 on the TV. The Cougs were up 12 when I turned it down. Love that.
7 to 6.
During the Tuck Rule game, when I was a kid, 12 years old up in Massachusetts, I said to my mother while watching this game, which was not going well for the Patriots, get out of the room. I will take the punishment. Get out of the room. And I believe I was grounded.
But
they won.
But they won.
They did win. They were down 13-3 at that moment in time.
You know, some people would think you're being ridiculous when you say that you're 6-time Super Bowl champion. I don't know. You earned one, at least.
I earned that one.
You earned that one.
The Tuck Rule game.
And I'm giving you the Panthers one when you didn't see the Janet Jackson.
That's true. I didn't even get distracted.
It was halftime. It was halftime. You're in the locker room.
I didn't get distracted by no booby because I was outside playing basketball.
Yeah, you're focused on Jake DeLome.
My parents were so relieved. Because all the kids went outside to play basketball at halftime because none of us had any interest in Janet Jackson, which, in our defense, we were young. But, yeah, we missed the boob and. And our parents, I think, were so thankful because we found out the next day. Like, we had no idea. There was no internet then.
Yeah.
So we had no clue.
They weren't going to tell you.
People were like, did you see the boob last night? Anyway, those are all the reasons the Cougs lost, not the Cougs. So now you know. 713-780-3776 to call to text. On YouTube, Trill O'Reilly says they were fatigued from having to take a bus to the venue. That's true. We talked about that on Friday. Why wasn't there a jet? Unbelievable. Could have afforded one. But honestly, the guy who wins this segment is the guy from the 281 who said, my wife made me turn the volume down from 7 to 6. That's my favorite text of the day. I agree with you. I think it was her.
Also, 7.
Call your wife out on it.
7, I don't know the scale of this volume thing.
What?
But normally 7's pretty low. Like 7 you can't really hear.
Yeah, what is it at? Like 10? Right. Are you watching it on one of those old dials?
Yeah.
TVs?
Normally it's like you got to get up to like 20 mm-hmm. for
to hear anything.
Yeah.
Well, at least we had some fun in that segment. Because everything's bad.
At pointing the finger. Everywhere except for the Houston Cougars.
You know, one of the main reasons I'm focusing on the Rockets, excuse me, not on the Rockets, I'm focusing on the Cougs, is because, like, I don't want to talk about the Astros last night. I don't want to talk about the many bad things going on with the Astros right now.
But
I guess we have to on the other side, though, right? This is going to be a new hour of the Paul Gallant Show.
A new hour. You know what? We've moved on. We've hit it. We've at the top of the hour. Now let's do a regular radio show after 2 hours and 15 minutes.
We're on to the 2025-2026 season for the Cougs.
There we go.
Cougars. Who are we talking about? We're talking about redemption for the Cougars next year. But up next, for the love of Christ, Astros, please get it together. Last night was rough on a variety of different levels. Let's go through all of it next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're on to the 2025-2026 season for our beloved Cougs. I'm going to continue to wear my Cougar hat, this warm beanie, until the end of the show because I'm a big believer that when you lose, you got to wear your team's gear the next day. You got to sit in it. You got to feel it. But we're on to the next season. We have officially turned the page, and we will never talk about this game again. This is it. We will never talk about that game again. Instead, let's talk about some meaningless April baseball, which I'm going to say is meaningless April baseball because I am hoping that once again, the Astros are going to make it seem like it was a waste of all of our time to watch in April because the real team showed up in May. Or June. Did I pay a lot of attention to last night's Astros-Mariners game? No. I watched it this morning after watching other things this morning that we will never discuss again. Last night's 4-3 loss to the Mariners, where the Astros had just two hits and were being no hit for a very long period of time, was rough on a variety of different levels. First off, Jose Altuve's had a great start to the year. I do not, for the life of me, understand how the 2-9 have been so bad after him. Like, there's no explanation for it. And last night, I mean, because of the struggles of the lineup, the Mariners could just completely pitch around Yordan Alvarez. Three walks? Isak Paredes, he pulls the ball really well. Well, he was 0 for 4. Christian Walker, he's got some power numbers in the past. 0 for 4. Jeremy Peña, 0 for 4. Victor Caratini, who you are actually looking at now as perhaps a more reliable catcher than Yiner Diaz. 0 for 4. Yiner Diaz, 0 for 4. He's batting .067. Can you guess who is betting three times his average? Can you guess? Sean, I'll let you guess first. Can you guess what player we do not know for his bat has a batting average that is three times that of Yiner Diaz?
I was going to say, I'm guessing a lot of guys. But one guy in particular, it's like Jake Myers or Chaz McCormick.
I'm not talking about a Astro. I'm talking about a former Houston Astro. Maldonado. Yeah. Martin Maldonado is batting .231. Yiner Diaz is batting, and let's just say it one more time, .067. So honestly, we're close to four times his average with Martin Maldonado.
That's a charitable three times.
The lineup has got to figure it out. You know, people blame the hitting coach. Just like with a game that we will never mention again last night, I'm not putting this on the coach. This is on the team. These guys are handsomely compensated for their services, and only Jose Altuve is hitting right now. And he had a home run last night. What a surprise. The rest of the lineup can't hit worth a damn. People are mad at after last night's game. Joe Espada pulling Hayden Wesneski after seven innings and five strikeouts. Here's the thing with the Mariners lineup. Honestly, I feel pretty comfortable with any Astro pitcher on the mound against the Mariners lineup. So I'm not going to get mad at taking out Hayden Wesneski after 82 pitches early on in the year. He did look very good last night. Taylor Scott, less so. Less so. But what is bothering me the most right now is that this team cannot hit worth a damn. And I mean, it's not like it's just one or two guys. Then you've got other elements that we've got to discuss. Cam Smith, Zach DiCenzo, why are they up? Why are they up? I mean, both should be playing if they're both up, right? Smith's played six games. DiCenzo's played three games. How do you get better if you don't play? So this is where I go back to the Astros really feeling going into the year like whatever plan they had just came together and they're executing something that like they had a shower thought on. Was there a lot of thought that went into this? No. Cam Smith's having a good spring. Let's bring him up. What's he got? 20 at-bats ever in the minor leagues? Exaggerating a little bit there, but now he's at the major league level and he hasn't played the last two games. And by the way, I found out that yesterday, apparently the Astros just had to wait until today to call up Cam Smith, and somehow it would not affect his service time, which seems very early, very, very, very early. But if you're not playing him every single game, why is he up here? The guy needs at-bats. Zach DiCenzo needs at-bats. Both these guys need at-bats. They haven't played in every single game. And I'm not saying like, hey, make sure that you have all noobs in the outfield, right? Especially since Jake Myers is one of your more reliable hitters through this point. With the Astros 4-6. We're 10 games in. Again, it could be worse. But it feels like they are mismanaging Cam Smith and Zach DiCenzo. You've got this freak accident that happened last night where during batting practice for the Mariners, some way, somehow, Spencer Arrighetti broke his thumb. I have no idea how that happened. This is one of the weirder baseball injuries we've ever seen. At least it took place on the diamond as opposed to someone walking in or out of the shower, or in the case of Cody Bellinger, who was scratched from a game last night because of bad wings. Like, it could be worse, but now all of a sudden, Spencer Arrighetti, who at least in his first start of the season, looked great, has a broken thumb. How does that happen? And then one last little tidbit. All the Astros exes are doing well. So we touched on this yesterday. Kyle Tucker, National League Player of the Week. Alex Bregman, American League Player of the Week. I totally forgot that Willier Abreu used to be a Houston Astro. The Astros traded Willier Abreu to the Boston Red Sox for anyone? Anyone? Christian Vasquez.
World Series champion, Christian.
World Series champion, Christian Vasquez. True.
But also Astro for like 40 games.
Willier Abreu could also be the American League Player of the Week. That's how well his year has begun. He has one less hit than Alex Bregman. He's been effing awesome. So here are all the ex-Houston Astros who are having a good start to their season. Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, Willier Abreu, and George Springer.
And Maldonado.
Maldonado is hitting better than Yiner Diaz, significantly. Part of a Padres team that is trying to kick the door down in the NL West. They're 4-6. It could be worse. This is bad. This is bad. And I'm mad about this. Because I was hoping at the very least I'd be able to say like, the Mariners, a bunch of losers after what happened last night, the game that we will never mention again. But instead, nope. Just sadness and sadness and sadness on top of sadness. And Spencer Arrighetti's hurt because he broke his thumb. What else do you want from me? What do you want from me? Because this is our segment today. This is our social media segment. Me wearing the hat of a defeated team talking about another team that effing stinks right now. They stink. The Mariners blow. They have no offense. you're getting out hit by the Mariners? And Altuve is one of the two guys getting a hit for you? It's Jose Altuve and Jake Meyers carrying your offense right now? This is where the anger should be directed. Clean it the F up. My goodness. And I will be bad cop with the Astros, I think, a lot this year. See this hat I have right now? I think I'm going to buy a fake police officer's hat. And people will say, stolen valor. Nope. I'm going to get a siren and everything, and I'm just going to be a bad cop. I'm going to be the guy in the shield. I'm going to be that guy with the mustache in NYPD Blue who kind of looks like Danny DeVito and also was in Die Hard 2. I'm going to be that guy. I'm just going to be a cop who takes out his frustration on a team that, you know what, is asking for it. They're asking for it. Paul, that's not how the law should be practiced. Don't care. Gun, badge,
yeah.
Another room.
You're bad cop.
Brass knuckle, brass knuckle, brass knuckle sandwich. Your face is the meat. Pop, 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 pop. Figure it the F out. Thank you. Paul Gallant Show, stay put.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not. And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
Yeah. Lots of things going on in the NBA. The most recent news features a firing. Mike Malone, head coach of the Denver Nuggets, who literally won the title, what, 2 years ago? Gone. With like three games left. What a bizarre, rando firing. Rockets play the Nuggets the last game of the season. That's a weird one. Seemed like he was well-liked by his players. He gone. Much like former Memphis Grizzlies coach Sean, his name is currently eluding me, who was also fired a little bit ago. Right?
Taylor Jenkins.
Taylor Jenkins, right. Rockets run the Southwest Division. I don't think Ime Udoka is in any danger of randomly being fired these next three games.
No, but it is a weird trend. I don't know. Is it a trend? But
it is a trend. Two guys have been fired with their team clearly about to make the playoffs weeks before the end of the year.
And it's not like they're teams that are making the playoffs, but they're below expectations. You know, it's not like the Milwaukee Bucks firing Doc Rivers because they're the sixth seed. It's like they're going to make the playoffs, but they thought they're going to be a top five seed, top six, four seed. It's two teams that, like, they're still alive to be home court in the first round.
Wait, listen, everyone's got a chance in the West. Like, no one takes the Thunder seriously from what I understand. That doesn't mean that they're right or justified, but a lot of people think the Thunder are frauds. And the rest of the conference from 2 through 8, not a lot of games separating these teams.
Yeah, it's like a game and a half between 3 and 9. Or no, 3 and 8.
So how does this help? Like, that's really my big question. How does this help you? Oh, yeah, it's going to wake them up?
There's... whatever reports about the kind of like, oh, now you tell us kind of reports about that they didn't see eye to eye, but it's weird because the two people that didn't see eye to eye
are gone. They're both gone.
You fired them both. Like, you didn't pick a side. You fired both of them. It would make more sense to fire the GM, honestly, and keep the coach. But I don't know what's going on. Denver's not exactly like you said, they did win the title 2 years ago. And they've made some good moves, but they're not exactly like a this team just does everything right kind of organization.
Right.
Like they made some good moves. They drafted well. They drafted super lucky when they got Nikola Jokic. Like that, I'm sorry. Like, you get some credit for that. You don't get a lot of credit for drafting an MVP in the 40s.
Yeah.
Like, because if you liked him that much, it's the same thing with Tom Brady. It's like, well, if you liked him that much, you wouldn't have waited that long to draft him. So I don't know. It's really bizarre, and I do wonder what this means for them as like a serious threat in the West. Because like you said,
they're no longer one.
It's so even. Okay, yeah, it's so even that I don't know how much Michael Malone matters or doesn't matter. And I have a hard time saying that it makes him better.
Exactly.
At least this year.
Right. Maybe next year, and unless they're about to hire, because the Denver Nuggets are owned by Stan Kroenke, who has a ton of money. Theoretically, they could
spend it. That's the thing. They never go over the tax.
That's true. But you could theoretically see him being able to spend money on a big coach. Like, are they about to hire somebody from the NCAA tournament?
I was going to say,
that's all I can think of.
Todd Golden?
Yeah, like Todd Golden comes in like the last 3 days of the season. That would be really funny. The Blue Jays gave Vladimir Guerrero a 14-year, $500 million contract. So even the Blue Jays are giving out big deals.
Yeesh.
That the Astros aren't.
Huh. That I have a hard time seeing that age well. Just given Vladimir Guerrero, A, his production's pretty up and down. And then B, I don't know, he could be a Devers pretty fast. Not to use Rafael Devers as a pejorative, but I could see his, let's just say, his physique not aging well for the next 14 years.
By the way, you know what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. would be earning in Canadian dollars? If he's getting paid in Canadian dollars?
Is it more?
$700 million.
Yeah.
Okay. So technically, this is one of the biggest contracts ever. This is almost Juan Soto.
I don't think that's how they do it.
But if you're Canadian, you should say that. Like, yeah.
But how many Canadian dollars is the Juan Soto?
Apparently it's seven Canadian dollars for five American dollars.
Okay.
Based off of the current exchange rate. Bucky McMillan, new head coach of Texas A&M. We saw him sawing varsity's horns off as part of the skimming a rink a dink a dink. Yogi Bear is better than the average bear. Yogi the Bear is better than the average bear. I know those aren't the lyrics to the Texas A&M song, but they did steal that from the Yogi Bear song, cartoon, Hanna-Barbera back in the day. And the part about sawing varsity's horn off is messed up. I'm sorry. Like, it's messed up. It's very weird. Does that hurt the cow? I would think so.
Can't imagine. It feels awesome.
Can't feel great. And, like, they're just so jubilantly singing about, like, killing a dead
mutilation
steer. It's weird. It's weird. And then there's like a second verse, like, varsity's horn is off. Kind of barbaric. Anyway, thought you guys were cool with the farm animals that you guys are being taught to raise, seeing as it's agriculture and mining, but that's just me.
Apparently, Bucky McMillan also runs like an offense, like a hybrid, like offense is this thing.
Not okay.
And so they'll look different than Buzz Williams team.
But it's still the same school. It's still the same athletic program. In case you missed it, anyone see Stephen A. Smith? He has finally admitted that it's time to stop messing around. Life is great, especially at ESPN and Disney. Hate the thought of being a politician, but sick of this mess. So he's officially leaving all doors open. Stephen A. Smith is leaving doors open to be president of the United States.
Wait, I thought that was going to set up to I love my job. I wouldn't want to do politics. He faked me out.
Nope.
He wants to do it.
Stephen A. Smith is no longer ruling out the possibility of running for president.
He should do it.
It would be funny.
I mean, like, there's always...
I would enjoy the campaign trail.
There's always, I don't know, twice as many candidates as you think. Because there's so many people that poll at like 1% that run just to get their name out there, give a little boost to the old speaking tours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, what's the harm for Stephen A. Smith? He can still do First Take. Like, he could just do it remotely. Like, come on. At least I want it on my... All I want is him on a debate stage at some point.
Dude, he would do very well.
Yeah.
He would probably be better at the art of debating, but also seeming cool while he does it, than every political candidate outside of Donald J. Trump.
I would say the art.
That's the only person who I think would be able to like actually hold his own. And I would kill to see if that's what our country is leading to. Stephen A. Smith versus Donald J. Trump. I will at the very least laugh very hard as things probably aren't ideal.
Well, who knows? I think he'll be better at TV debating. I don't know about, like, actual, like, debate clubs. I don't know if they'll be like, do what Stephen A. Smith does when you're debating.
No, you should. You should. It's not about being right. It's literally about being cool and entertaining. Anyway.
Again, that's TV debating. Not well, debate. Debate club, they don't worry about being cool. Trust me. Have you seen those kids? Unnecessary shot at
these are the future
club
politicians that are
that are going to lose to Stephen A. Smith.
Exactly.
Stephen A. Smith was averaging 6 points a game in high school on his basketball team.
Also on First Take, this clip is one of the greatest clips in the history of sports on TV. P.K. Subban, who's a former hockey player, was brought on First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp to talk about Alexander Ovechkin scoring 855 goals, which sets the record all time for goals in hockey history, passing Wayne Gretzky. Here is a conversation that took place instead of talking about Ovechkin passing Gretzky.
But what I'm saying, LeBron's great, but he ain't Kobe, he ain't Jordan for me. So what I'm saying is, it's not about size. You want to talk about 6'9"? I'm talking about the
Jordan's fine.
Hold up, hold up, hold up. See, you can't say Kobe. You can't say Kobe.
Well, yeah, I did. I put Kobe ahead of him. Kobe's ahead of LeBron.
I've heard you say this. You base everything on mentality. Oh, they were at the end of the day. A black mamba gets his credit because it's the only snake that will attack you without provocation. But it's not as dangerous as a taipan. It's not as dangerous as a common brown. So what are we talking about here? John Wick kills a lot of people, but so did James Bond. So what are we doing if the job gets done?
Did you? Okay, well, hold on. Hold on. If we're measuring greatness, let's talk about that. Hold on, Shannon, let's talk about that.
So they were talking about Alexander Ovechkin, and somehow Shannon Sharp, who clearly needs to be a guest on the Paul Gallant Show now. Like, now I want him more than anyone. For Shannon Sharp to go from talking about Kobe versus LeBron, which P.K. Subban took the conversation to.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, this was originally about Alexander Ovechkin.
Then he took it to brown snakes versus black mambas. And then he took it from there to John Wick and James Bond killing people. Like, bravo. That is a level that I'm not even sure I could do.
There's like four different I do like that P.K. Subban's role on this show is let's talk about the NBA with the hockey guy. That is just what, every time I hear him, he's talking about the NBA.
Yeah. That's funny.
NHL. Got a lot going on.
Clean up aisle me, by the way, to wrap up in case you missed it. Everything you might have missed in the weekend, over the weekend in sports. From the 409, it's agriculture and manufacturing, not mining, sheesh, for Texas A&M. That's one texter. Another texter says, actually, it's mechanical, not mining. That's from JT Ag. Make up your minds, guys!
I'm pretty sure JT's right.
JT sounds right, yes.
I would think that it's mechanical.
I thought it was mining. Learn something new every day. Every day. So varsity's horn off. That's a normal thing to do. As are having yell leaders. We're fucking weird. It's the Paul Gallant Show. What's up next? Who knows? Will the show exist still after that one? Not sure. It's the Paul Gallant Show. We're not talking about the thing that happened. And we're not talking about the Astros. Stay put.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Gotta love seeing this on a day where the Denver Nuggets fired their head coach, Mike Malone, and won't extend their general manager's contract, Calvin Booth, which I guess means he's fired, but he's still technically in charge.
I don't know.
David Adelman, the Nuggets lead assistant, is going to be the head coach the rest of the year. Relation to Rick Adelman?
I believe so. I think that's right.
So as that move happened with the Nuggets 11-13 since the All-Star break, guess what the next natural story to pop up on ESPN was? I guess per odds makers, the Los Angeles Lakers are now the favorites to acquire Nikola Jokic.
Is it like one of those like Bovada or whatever where they always just crank out? Because that's what happens with the Rockets too. It's like whenever something happens, like LaMelo Ball, it's like, oh, Rockets, the leading contender. It's just like a thing to put out there. Who's second place on the Jokic pair rankings? Or Jokic odds?
I'm looking for it right now because it popped up on social media right in front of me. Like, there's odds already on it, though. And, of course, on a day where a bad thing happened last night and the Astros also are stinking it up, specifically at the plate, and they're in Seattle, who has their number from a pitching perspective, so it doesn't seem like the Astros' bats are about to wake up anytime soon. All of that on top of that, the idea that the Lakers could theoretically do the most Laker thing possible, which is to get Luka Doncic for nothing and theoretically get Nikola Jokic as well at some point. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot for one day.
The next two teams are Serbian teams. KK Megabasket and KK Joker.
I could see him going back home.
And then the Toronto Raptors, which is funny. It's funny that it's the Lakers, Serbia, Toronto Raptors.
Maybe they're thinking he just wants to get away from the Americans, all these Americans who take their basketball too seriously. He just wants to be in a town that cares more about hockey.
Yeah. He's like, he's just trying to tell us about work-life balance.
Well, that's annoying. That's an annoying thing to see as we get closer and closer to the end of the road. But guess what, guys? The road for the 2025-2026 Cougars, it's just beginning. You know? It's the very end of Good Will Hunting. Matt Damon's in the car with Afternoon Delight playing in the background as he drives off into the distance. And that's where our beloved Cougs are. Because it's all about next year. Vengeance. So now they got vengeance against Duke. Now it's vengeance against Florida. It's all about Emmanuel Sharp having the biggest glow up of all time this offseason. Same thing with JoJo Tugler. And let's see what happens next year. Garbage time. Hit it.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I did not think that pickleball would ever get on the radar of the Securities and Exchange Commission, but this week, the SEC and the Department of Justice announced charges against Randy Miller, Chad Miller, and Jeffrey De La Viaga. These are the executives behind Legacy Cares and its for-profit affiliate Legacy Sports. They're accused of defrauding investors out of more than $280 million by using forged documents, inflated revenue projections, and fictitious commitments from sports organizations. These guys faked letters of intent and contracts from sports organizations, projecting $100 million in first-year revenue. And I guess they did this while running the sport called pickleball.
Wait, so pickleball is a scam?
It does seem like,
or like
pickleball.
Professional pickleball is a scam.
Yes. So this organization, which has created like a massive pickleball series of courts, and we're talking there's at least 50 pickleball courts in this like little area.
Oh, wow.
Apparently these guys have also just stolen $280 million. That does sound right. You know what, I could go over the specifics of this story, but I think when the SEC and the Department of Justice are coming down on them, they've probably not, let's at least admit, dotted their I's and crossed their T's. And pickleball being involved in something like this, good. Pickleball needs to be killed. Pickleball is a terrible, terrible sport, and everyone who plays it, I don't like it. I just don't. I think it's the wrong kind of thing to be teaching to our children. Let's play a version of tennis that doesn't involve any athleticism whatsoever. Let's do that. Nope. Bad. Bad for the United States of America. Ban pickleball. You heard it here from me first. I would vote for Stephen A. Smith if that was the platform he ran on. I would.
We have to stop this madness.
We must.
Pickleball.
We must stop pickleball in this trash.
And they're like, hell yeah. You know what? Let me put on a Stephen A. Smith for president button.
Yeah. And on that note, guys, pickleball, bad. Houston Cougars, good.
But next sad. Year.
But we're sad. We are sad. And we're never talking about what happened last night again. Okay? We're all going to agree on it, right? It's the worst hangover we ever had. I'm the Men in Black guy with the little pencil thing. I'm sticking it in your ears and in your face. That sounds kind of sexual. Didn't mean it to. And voip! We forgot all about it. And now you can move on with your lives. We hope. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Big thanks to everyone else who listened. Our Twitchers, YouTubers, texters, and callers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.